Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
In February of last year, a dream of mine came true. I had always wanted to go to Hawaii. It was just kind of a dream of mine to be able to go. And after 20 years of ministry here, many of you, the church was invited to give, and many blessed Sarah and me to be able to have a week in Hawaii as kind of a blessing thank you gift. And it was just an amazing experience. I'd always wanted to go. We didn't go there for our honeymoon because Sarah had already been there. We wanted to go someplace new together, so we went to Victoria, British Columbia. And so we got to go in February of last year, and it was just before things got shut down, and we're like, what's this whole COVID-19 thing about? We're just hearing about it. We just like barely squeaked in this trip, just like a couple weeks before things kind of went crazy and changed. And we got to go there, and I wanted to share some of the pictures, some of what I enjoyed about going there. Of course, many of us live in Huntington Beach, and we've experienced the beaches here. They're not quite the, I love the beaches here, but the beaches on Hawaii are amazing. One of the things I loved is you can see off in the distance there just another paradise, another island. You can just see like these beautiful mountains and see, you know, another island just a couple miles away. This was up in the mountains when we went up on we went to Maui. We went up in the mountains. We went, drove around. I love that you could just look down and see the beauty of the island from that vantage point. By the way, I am going some here with this. I'm not just bragging about a trip to Hawaii, so hang on with me. One of the things I loved there was the beauty. There's just unique wildlife and flowers. It's just beautiful colors there. Loved experiencing that. This is one of the beautiful giant flowers that we saw on a hike that Sarah and I went. Got to experience just the wildness of nature. As you go up, I think it's Highway 50, and you drive around, it's this, like, what's that? Ohana, thank you. Yes, I couldn't remember the name at first service. When you're driving up through there, it's kind of a little bit wild of a ride, and you get to go off and see like wild rivers and waterfalls. I think this was like Twins Waterfalls. Just beautiful, beautiful experience. How many of you here have been to Hawaii, one of the islands? Okay, same at first service. We're apparently a Hawaii-going congregation. But for those of you who haven't gone, you know, there's one thing to see pictures, to, you know, have people show you things that you can get there, but it's another thing to go there yourself, right? It's that I can tell you all the stories, pictures, but there's nothing quite like going to Hawaii for yourself. And we all have experiences like this, right? You can hear about being married, but there's nothing quite like being married and experiencing that for yourself, the joy, the mystery. You're not quite sure what it means to become one with someone, all that goes along with that. You can hear about being a parent, you know, all the different stories from other parents. And there's nothing quite like when you become a parent yourself and you go, oh my goodness, what did I just get myself into? This is way more difficult than people said. Everything's changed. And then you experience all the rewards of being a parent. You go, okay, it's worth it. You know, you don't really fully get that unless you're a parent yourself, unless you get to experience it for yourself. Friends, we can hear about God. It can be something out there. We can sing about God, but it's different when we're in worship and we're singing to God. There's something different about knowing God for yourself. We heard last week from Jesus in John 17. I want to share again one of the verses. This is John 17, 24, where Jesus says, Father, I desire that they also, talking about future disciples, you and me, future followers of Jesus, that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. So last week we talked about how Jesus desires for us to be with him, to experience the same kind of love from the Father, the same loving relationship that he has. And this whole being with Jesus part that he's talking about is called being part of the family of God. Being with Jesus is being part of the family of God. We're in week 2 of our beautiful community series. And we're using the words beautiful community in two senses. The first one is the beautiful community that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit share. And so we're dealing somewhat with the mystery, the teaching of the Trinity, that there's one God, one what's, one being, but three who's, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. We're not really going to fully dive into the mystery, but we're looking at each person of the Godhead. Last week, we looked at the Father's beautiful love. This week, we're taking a look at the Son's beautiful generosity. Next week, we're looking at the Son's beautiful work. And then finally, we're looking at the second sense of this phrase, the beautiful community. How can we be the beautiful community together for the sake of the world? Okay? That's when we'll kind of draw it all together. Last week's message revolved around the Father's beautiful love. How God has this desire for relationship. He created us for a relationship. Sin broke that relationship, but he's redeemed us. And we looked at the Japanese art form of kintsugi, if you were here and remember it. And we took a look at how we've been created, how we've been broken, and how through Christ we're being put back together. We're being redeemed and waiting to be recreated. And part of that redemption is being able to have authentic community, know and being known. I am broken, yes, but I'm being redeemed. And you can know me because God has loved me. So we talked about that last week. This week, we're not so much moving away from the Father's love, but we're looking at the Son's beautiful generosity, how he makes known God to us in this love and makes us beloved children of God. So how can we know if we truly know God? Because it's not like going to Hawaii where I can show you pictures or, you know, being married, I can show you my wife or my wedding ring or my kids, here are my kids. Like, how can we truly know God and show that to others? Like, how does that actually happen? Well, we're in 1 John 4, verses 7 and 10, and John wrote this letter. One of the reasons why he wrote this letter is so that those who read it, the first readers and us now, can know for certain that we know God through his Son, that we have eternal life as one of his children. So you can read these verses almost as a test. This is one way that John highlights for us that we can know that we are children of God, that we know God through his Son. Look again with me at verses 7 through 8. John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." So here's the test. If you love like God because you know God, then that's how you can know that you know God. You love like him. But if you don't love like God, then maybe you might want to explore some things. Maybe there's some more that you need to enter into. And so in the ancient world, it was expected that children reflected the character of their fathers. And so that's why John says, hey, if you've truly been born of God, you should reflect God's character. And so that's one way to know that you truly know God. So we could talk about how we become more loving and how our hearts and characters are transformed, but that's really weeks 3 and 4. But for today, I want to talk about how God's love is made known through Jesus and how we become beloved children of God. And so we're going to look at the good news of adoption in Christ, how we become part of God's family, and then we're going to look at how we become a forgiving community that reflects that kind of love to the world. All right? So let's get started with the good news of adoption in Christ. This is one of the ways that we can speak of the gospel. And I talked about this about 2 or 3 weeks ago, if you were here. I want to talk about it again, but kind of from a different angle. We are not born as beloved children of God. When you're born, you don't come into the world as a child of God, but it happens through faith in Christ. The way John puts it at the beginning of his gospel in verses 12 and 13, he says this: "To all who did receive him, to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This good news of adoption in Christ becoming part of the family of God is for all people. Doesn't matter of your blood, your heritage. It doesn't matter whether or not, it's not so much about what you do, the will of the flesh. It's not even about the will of man, whether or not you were born into a certain family or have a certain heritage or history. It's for all people. God is forming for himself a people from all different kinds of families. And it's the family of God. If you look around here, there's probably 20, 30 different families, maybe more represented. But if we're all, if you have put your faith in Christ, we are all one family here as part of the family of God. These are your brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ at this local church. I like you guys, so it's all good. Now, what exactly does it mean for us to believe, to receive Jesus, to believe in his name? Back in 1 John 4, we get a glimpse of this good news, of what God has done. Verses 9 and 10 tell us of what God has done through Jesus. Let's look first at verse 9. John says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." In this the love of God was made manifest in the world, that God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. So if you want to know what God is like, John says, God is love, which then just begs another question. Well, what's God's love like? Well, it's like Jesus. He's the one who is sent to the world. That's how the love of God was made manifest into the world. So God is like Christ. God's love is like Christ. You want to know what those things are like? Take a look at Jesus. You have to look at him to really know the fullness of God's character and love in person. You might recall that we spoke about God the Father's beautiful love being like an overflowing love that blesses others. It's a life that just wants to spread goodness to other people, to draw other people into relationship. That's how God created us. That's how God redeemed us. And we get a glimpse of that once again in verse 9. It says, God the Father sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. God sends the Son, God the Father sends the Son because he says, I have life and I want you to know this life too. It's the life that God the Son shares with me, that loving life of relationship. You're invited into that. We can also see the Son's beautiful generosity in the Father sending the Son. Let's look at verse 10. He says that the love of God was made manifest in the world through sending his Son. Now we hear how in verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us first and sent his Son to atone for our sins. So John makes two really important points, declares two important truths about the love of God made known through Christ. The first is that God's love is gracious. God loved us first that we might love him back. It's not like God was looking down going, all right, there's enough goodness in the world, enough people love me, I'm going to send my Son. No, the world was lost, broken, hurting, and God says, I'm going to send my Son so that they might be in a loving relationship with me. I took the initiative. I took the first move. This is the kind of love that we see parents having for kids, right? We celebrated our daughter Molly's 10th birthday 2 days ago, and we got to celebrate her up at the family camp. By the way, if you were missing Pastor Peter and some other staff, it's because they're up at family camp. I came back down the mountain to be able to preach because we had to have some people here to, you know, make Sunday morning happen. But we got to celebrate her birthday up there, and I was reflecting on when she was born, she didn't have much love to give, right? It wasn't about her meeting my needs. It was about me pouring out my love on her, and over the course of time, we've developed that relationship. She's loved back, right? And that's what a good, healthy parent-child relationship looks like. The child knows that the child doesn't feel like the parent is dependent upon the child. It's the other way around. The child knows I can depend on my parent. They're going to love me no matter what. The love of my father, the love of my mother won't change. And whenever we have that kind of love as parents, it's a reflection of the love of God for us as one of his beloved children. Isn't that beautiful? Whenever we see that kind of love, it's a reflection of God the Father's love through us, through the Son. So, first point, God's love is gracious. Second thing is God's love is self-giving. He sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In the Old Testament, there's this whole system of sacrifices that God had set up as he was dwelling in their midst to cover their sins in a temporary sort of way. And they were called propitiations or atoning sacrifices for our sins. It was a way to reconcile us to God. Jesus, the New Testament says, is the ultimate better sacrifice. He's the final sacrifice for our sins. He's the one that reconciles us back to God, takes care of the wrath of God against sin, so that we might be reconciled back to God, at one with him. This is the kind of love we often love to see in stories and the protagonists or heroes, right? I'm going to speak first towards action movies, and then I'll talk about romances and dramas. So I'm just going to first speak as a guy who loves action movies. How many of you love action movies? How many of you love the Marvel Cinematic Universe? A few people? Okay, oh, there's only like two or three at first service and a few here. Wow, I expected more. There's a few. You do? Marnie, you like? No, okay. They're all up at family camp. This is true. There is truth there, yeah. So the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there's some 22 movies. Black Widow just came out a few days ago, and it was the 22nd movie. It's made billions of dollars. And part of that's, you know, the advertising, all the stuff. But I think one of the things they got right in those kinds of movies is they have their heroes on display, and there's something beautiful about what they do to sacrifice for the sake of others. We're drawn towards that often in action stories or adventure stories. And then there's romances, there's more like relational stories, drama stories, where we see the protagonist who sacrifices for the sake of others. And we're drawn towards that. We think, that's beautiful, that generous love is so beautiful. I think part of the reason why we're drawn to that is because we know that we were created for that with God. Our heart is missing that. And if we're in relationship with God, we can find that. Isn't the Son's generosity beautiful? He says, I know the Father in this loving way as a child, as the Son of God. I want to invite you into that. In fact, I'm so generous, I'm going to give my life so that you might know that kind of love as well. That's the Son's beautiful generosity in the gospel. So what do we do with this manifestation of beautiful, generous love? Well, there's a few different options. You can doubt it, say, no, that's not real. Or maybe you could just appreciate it from afar, like, okay, I'm going to listen to your stories about going to Hawaii. Or you can go to Hawaii for yourself. You can say, I'm going to go to the island. I'm going to experience it for myself, so to speak. I'm going to enter into this relationship with God as I'm invited into the gospel. And it's not just an invitation we respond to once. It's something we go deeper and deeper into again as followers of Jesus. God invites us again and again to enter into that kind of relationship. And the human heart craves this kind of relationship. The invitation in the gospel is to trust that God has made himself known through Jesus, and he's made a way for us back to God to become a child of God. And we can see it if we take time to meditate on God's love for us in Christ and actually see Jesus, take time to really see him. All throughout Scripture, there's all these descriptions or these commands or these stories, these invitations to see Jesus, to see him with our hearts, to really grasp the beauty of his love for us, of this generous love. So we're going to take some time to do that now, and I left my phone down there, so I'm going to grab it real quickly. So this is where my Bible is, so sorry about that. I thought I brought that up. We're going to be in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. If you're taking notes, just note it there. I want to invite you to listen to this invitation to look at Jesus. This is one of those beautiful pictures that are painted for us, for our heart to gaze upon. So I'm going to read through this. I'm going to invite us to spend a couple minutes in prayer to look at Jesus. I invite you to close your eyes and listen to God's word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all the believers that came before Christ, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. God, we hear your invitation to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Friends, for the joy that was set before him was you. That is why he endured the cross. That's why he despised the shame. And that's what led to his victory at the right hand of the throne of God as he was resurrected and defeated sin, death, and the devil. God, I ask that by your Spirit you would invite us to see Jesus on the cross, that we might see the beautiful, generous love that led him to the cross. Lord, stir in our hearts a desire to draw near to you, to draw closer. We hear in Scripture that as we draw closer to you, you draw closer to us. You respond to our desires to know you more. And so, Lord, we ask that you would spark that desire, that flame in our hearts, that we might pursue you more, to know your love more. Thank you that you love us so much that you sent Jesus to take care of our sins that we might know you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So how can we know if we truly know God? How can we know we've been to the island? Well, John says that if we want to answer that question, we have to do it together. He talks about let us love one another. I can't just answer the question for myself. It's how we live out that life together as a community. How we love one another with the kind of love, that gracious, self-giving love that God has for us through his Son. And there's so many ways that we could unpack this love, but I want to talk about what it means for us to be a forgiving community. A forgiving community. Forgiveness is not the way of the world, right? The way of the world is revenge. I'm going to take my rights to take care of myself. But it is the way of Jesus, and it's the way that you and I are invited into as followers of Jesus. Listen to how the Apostle Paul connects forgiveness to God's love in Ephesians 4, 32 and verses 5, 1 and 2. He says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." In other words, forgive one another as God has forgiven you. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to sin." So when we give ourselves in love to forgive others, we are imitating God. We're walking in that kind of love. Back in 2006, there was a powerful story about forgiveness amongst the Amish community in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. How many of you remember that school shooting at the Lancaster out in Lancaster? It was about some 15 years ago. And it was a horrible story. The shooter killed many people, then shot himself. But what happened afterwards was this beautiful story of forgiveness, and those who watched it were shocked by the forgiveness that was shown. I'm going to show you about a 3-minute news clip that shows some of the aftermath of the power of that forgiving love. And I want to invite you to just try to enter into that story.
As the nation marks the anniversary this week of the Newtown, Connecticut school shooting, families of some of the 26 who were killed attended a vigil today at the National Cathedral in Washington. Prayers were offered for all of the victims of gun violence in this country. And that would include the 5 young Amish girls who were killed and 5 who were wounded just a few years ago in South Central Pennsylvania. Jeff Glore tells us that out of the horror of that school shooting has come a lesson in forgiveness.
side. I mean,
it's been 7 years since Terry Roberts' life changed forever. In October 2006, her 32-year-old son Charlie walked into an Amish school in Lancaster County and shot 10 young girls before killing himself.
I heard the sirens and saw helicopters. Then the phone was ringing, and it was my husband. And he said, I need you to come to Charlie's house right away. And I got out of the car, and I looked at my husband, and these sunken eyes just saying, it was Charlie. That could not be. And yet it truly was. It was true. It was our son.
Robert's initial reaction was that she had to move away. But the Amish came to her house the night of the shooting to say they wanted her to stay. Some of the victims' families attended her son's funeral.
There are not words to describe how that made us feel that day. And then for the mother and father that had lost not just one, but two daughters at the hand of our son, to come up and be the first ones to greet us. Wow, is there anything in this life we shouldn't forgive?
Terry Roberts now shares this message with those who've experienced trauma. And every Thursday, she cares for the most seriously wounded survivor of the shooting, now 13. It's against Amish beliefs to appear on camera, so Donald Crakehill often speaks on their behalf.
You have this mother who raised a son that did this horrific damage to this young woman. And the mother has the courage and the spiritual fortitude to come back and to care for this young woman. And the parents of the young woman welcome her into their home. It's a powerful, powerful story.
Those families in Newtown who may still have understandably conflicted feelings now, still less than a year later, what do you say to them?
Ask God to provide new things in your lives. New things to focus on, and that doesn't take the place of what is lost. But it can give us a hope and a future.
A future made possible for Terry Roberts because of forgiveness. Jeff Glor, CBS News, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Powerful story, right? The reason why this is newsworthy is because is not normal. It takes the power and love of God to make this possible. So we can appreciate the beauty of this generosity and forgiveness, but how can we actually do that? What does it look like to do that? Well, I want to unpack for us a little bit about how forgiveness can work in a community in response to this generous love in the Son, how we can reflect that generous love to one another and to the world. And first, we have to realize that forgiveness is both a choice and a journey we go on. It's both a choice and a process we go through. First, let's talk about it as a choice. Forgiveness is something we must choose to do. It usually does not happen automatically, right? As we are formed more to become like Christ, it becomes more automatic. It happens more quickly. But generally, it's not something that happens like that. And sometimes we forgive others when we don't feel like doing so. I've counseled a lot of people over the years when they say, I'll forgive so-and-so when I feel like doing so. And I have to tell them the hard truth. If you're waiting for that feeling, you'll likely never get there. Because often, the positive feeling towards the wrongdoer follows the choice to forgive. So, first thing is, forgiveness is a choice. It's something we have to choose to do, to enter into, and sometimes that's hard. But forgiveness is also a process. It's a series of choices I do again and again. I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to forgive them again. Oh, I have to forgive them again. I have to forgive them again. You know, you just go through it again and again and again, and it takes longer than we expected. We're not quite too sure how to make it happen. God has taught me over the years a lot about forgiveness and relating to my dad, who left our family after my parents got divorced, and trying to process all of that. And I want to share with you a couple questions that might be helpful. One question is, what do you do when forgiveness takes longer than you expected? What do you do when you think, you know, I feel like I've forgiven this person 10 times, and it feels like there's 400 more times to go? What do you do in that situation? First thing is, keep in mind that forgiving is not the same thing as forgetting. Forgiving is not the same thing as forgetting. Do you think those Amish parents that lost children have forgotten about what's happened? No, but through God's powerful love, that memory of that has been transformed. And it's the same for you and me, is we don't necessarily forget, but we do forgive, and those memories get transformed by the healing love of Christ. Second thing to keep in mind is that forgiveness and restoration are not the same thing. There are going to be certain times when you might forgive someone, but it doesn't necessarily mean that a relationship will be restored. There might be certain relationships that are abusive or not safe or dangerous to go back into or not wise to go back into. And God says, you need to forgive that person, not only because it's what's required as a child of God, but also for your own sake. But we're never necessarily commanded to restore every relationship. We are called to keep peace as much as it depends on us, as it's safe for us to enter into that. So sometimes I might forgive someone, but it doesn't mean that the relationship will look the same as before the wrongdoing. It might not. That's something you have to discern with God's help. A second question is, what are some steps that we can take to help facilitate forgiveness? Are we just left on our own? The good news is we aren't. God has the church to help us to learn to enter and to forgive. And so if you're struggling to forgive, get the help of trusted friends, especially trusted believers, to help you process what happened, to really understand the wrongdoing as you experienced it and how that impacted you. Another thing you can do is meditate on the love of God for us in Christ, this generous, forgiving love. That warms the heart, it softens the heart, it prepares us to say, okay, I've been forgiven, I can be empowered to forgive others who have wronged me as well. Another thing we can do is ask God to help change our hearts and ask God to help us to trust that he's going to take care of us. Sometimes we hold on to unforgiveness because we think if we forgive someone, we're going to somehow lose power. I'm not going to feel in control. I'm not going to have the power to really, I feel like I need to be against this person in my heart to be on guard against them. But if we can get to the place where we can trust that we're in God's loving hands and that he's going to take care of us, we can let go of that hurt. Because unforgiveness is a cell locked from the inside. We think we're doing damage to the other person, but really, in the end, what we're doing is we're doing damage to ourselves. And God says, the key's right on the inside of the door. Unlock it, step out of the cage. There's freedom, there's healing, there's hope after that. And I love that story of that mother who experienced a hope and a future from God because they experienced the powerful forgiveness of God's people in that Amish community. We might not be able to relate to them because they're Amish. They won't even appear on camera. We might think that's strange. But they have something about the way of Christ that we see there that we can enter more fully into. It's a beautiful, powerful love that can really impact the world. When we forgive someone because we've been loved by God in Christ in that way, once again, God's love through Christ is made manifest in the world. It's not the same way as the cross, but it's another example of it. It's another iteration of it. It's pointing back to the cross whenever we have that kind of love for one another. We reflect the Son's beautiful generosity. And there's so many different ways we can do it throughout our everyday life. Forgiveness is just one of the major ways that I wanted us to highlight because John talks about God forgiving us through Christ. There's nothing quite like knowing God for yourself, just like there's nothing quite like going to Hawaii for yourself. As those who know God, we become like God, we love like God, and the world can experience God's love through us. But there's one key difference between knowing God for yourself and going to Hawaii. When you go to Hawaii, you have to go to one of seven places, right? You have to go get on an airplane and fly to that island. But for others to experience God's love through us, to get a taste of that, it's not about people coming to us, it's about us being sent to them. Jesus, at the end of John's gospel, says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you out into the world. And friends, God is sending you this week into the world to be bearers of that love, this gracious, self-giving love. Maybe it's forgiveness that God's calling you to. Maybe it's to deal with something that's in your heart, a recent situation, a long-term situation. Maybe it's to help others that you know are struggling to forgive, to come alongside them, to love on them, to encourage them, to help them. Maybe there's some small ways that God is saying, hey, in this situation, I want you to be gracious to love people, not because you want something back, but to give of yourself because I've given you so much. What are some ways we can reflect this generous love this next week? Jesus is sending us out, friends, and there's so many ways that we can do it, small and big. And he says, I'm sending you out. Help others to know this love too. Would you join me in prayer as we invite God to speak to us about this generous love together? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made known to us the beauty of your love through the Son. Lord, when we really take a look at Jesus, we see the beautiful character that you have for us, towards us. You loved us before we ever loved you. And Lord, if we're here and we need to have a deeper experience of your love, Lord, draw us to yourself this week, this day. Lord, if we're feeling filled up and empowered, Lord, help us to go in your love and your power to those who are hurting, lost, and need to experience it. Lord, wherever we're at, we respond that you are worthy of all our love, devotion, and worship, and we continue to do that now in song. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpc.org.